Welcome to the Building Great Lives podcast, a podcast about real life, real issues, and finding real answers to life's most difficult questions. And now your host, Trent Gillum.
Greetings, everyone. Trent here. Welcome to episode number 55 of the podcast. I'm glad you've joined the Building Great Lives journey. Before we get started, as always, I'd like to say a huge thank you to our monthly ministry partners and to you, the listener. You make this ministry possible. And I'm excited to have you on the Building Great Lives team here at the Building Great Lives podcast. It's our desire to help people from around the world grow, heal, discover, and fulfill their unique purpose. Thank you for sharing these episodes. We're praying these messages of hope reach every possible person in every possible nation. In today's episode, we're going to answer the question, how far can mercy reach? Mercy is a vital Christian term whose meaning is often misunderstood. In short, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 2, the prophet asked the Lord, "In wrath, remember your mercy." I'm thankful that we serve a God of mercy. But how far does mercy reach? Is there a limit to what God can do? Does mercy have unlimited reach? Well, let's answer that question. One of my favorite revelations of mercy is revealed in the book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah has 66 chapters and covers three main themes. The first theme that Isaiah details is Israel's spiritual condition. They had drifted far from God. Israel was backslidden and living in a way that was not pleasing to God. And you find detailed imagery of how they had chosen the ways of heathen nations and how they had abandoned worshiping God and turned to idol worship. And you get this picture of Israel being far from God. And then the second theme of Isaiah, it details God's continued promise to show Israel mercy if they would repent and turn back to him. Now, I find that amazing. We have one of the most detailed examples of Israel being in a backslidden condition. But yet in the same book, we have God saying, "I love you so much that if you will turn from those ways and turn back to me, I will give you mercy. I will be your God. I will welcome you back. You can live back in the covenant, but you have to turn back to me." And the third theme covered in the book of Isaiah is it has more messianic prophecies than in any other book in the Old Testament. A messianic prophecy, that is a prophecy regarding the coming of Messiah. We know that to be Jesus. Even the core of the messianic prophecies found in Isaiah chapter 53, they are quoted 85 times in the New Testament. 27 of Isaiah's prophecies regarding the coming of Messiah are directly fulfilled in the New Testament. Messianic prophecies ranging from his birth, his ministry, and the brutality of the cross. For example, Isaiah covers prophecies of his virgin birth, him being called Emmanuel, Jesus being the root of Jesse, a nail in a sure place, Jesus being the cornerstone. Isaiah prophesied that he would be swallowed up in death, but death would not have victory. Isaiah prophesied that preceding Jesus would be a voice crying in the wilderness. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be anointed to preach good tidings, that his image would be more marred than any man, that he would be despised and rejected, he would be wounded for our transgressions and numbered with transgressors, and he would be a sacrifice for the sins of the people. All of these are just a few of the many prophecies regarding the coming of Messiah. Now, let me reiterate, in the book, that declares some of the most vivid examples of Israel being in a backslid condition also reveals the most prophetic promises of the coming of Messiah. There is no greater example of mercy given than Jesus. God manifests in the flesh, comes down. Why? For one reason, that he could be the sin offering for people. Think about that. Mercy is revealed in a book. The greatest example of mercy revealed comes in the midst of the greatest example of Israel being in a sinful condition away from God. I do not believe that is an accident. I believe that the Lord is showing us something powerful. It's a revelation of mercy. It's a revelation that Paul understood when he said in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I love how the NET version said it, where sin increased, grace multiplied all the more. Incredible. In the midst of a book revealing the greatest of backsliding is also the book that reveals the greatest reach of mercy. God is showing us, no matter where you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've suffered, no matter what you've done, the reach of mercy is still possible. Even in the greatest of sin, Israel still had the opportunity for mercy. And that is an example for us to live by today. Mercy is being revealed in your life of trauma and pain and heartache and hurt and even sin. Mercy will reveal itself. Mercy is not waiting for the perfect. Mercy is not needed in the perfect, but mercy reveals itself right in the midst of your trauma. God is saying to someone, my mercy can reach to the lowest lows. My mercy can reach to exactly where you are. It can reach into the situation that you are dealing with right now. Isaiah reveals a powerful question and a powerful answer. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 2, the Lord asked, is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? It took 9 chapters, but we finally get an answer. Isaiah then answered in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. This is amazing to me because God asked the question, is my hand shortened at all? And Isaiah speaks up and says, Lord, your hand is not shortened at all. What is meant by this? We are talking about God's ability to reach. These are scriptures about his ability to reach people that have found themselves in the most difficult and dire situations. Isaiah is telling Israel, God is not less able to help than of old. His hand has not lost any power. It has not lost any reach. His ability to save has not changed. His power has not become weaker. His reach has not become shorter. He's saying the same God that had the power to reach down and deliver Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea has the ability to do the same for you today. You may not be facing a physical Red Sea. You may not be facing a physical bondage to another person, but there are many things that we find ourselves facing and even in bondage to. Isaiah is saying, I need to remind you, God's hand is not any more short. He's not any weaker now than he was before. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he could do it for Israel, he can do it for you. I'm telling you, listener, right now, no matter what you're facing, mercy can reach into that situation and move in a mighty way and change your life forever. It is the enemy that wants you to give up. It is the enemy that wants you to live in despair and say, I've done too much. I can't ever be healed. I can't ever be changed. I can't ever start fresh again. I've just been through too much. That is a lie from the enemy. God is saying, my power has not changed. My reach has not got shorter. Nobody can move beyond my ability to heal and deliver and set free. If you will, like he told Israel, turn back. You may not be in a backslidden case, but you need to turn away from your trauma and turn toward the Lord. Turn to him in prayer. Turn to him in worship. And you will find that his arm and his power, they have not changed. The reach of mercy is deep, long, and far, and God can reach into the depth of your despair. So how far can mercy reach? Mercy reached David. King David had found himself looking over his balcony, found a woman named Bathsheba, and committed sin with her. And we know the story of how he had a child with her and it died. And we know the grief that he went through. But David finds himself in a place that is so horrible to be in. Anointed, but now living in sin and all of the things that surrounded it, from taking Bathsheba's husband and arranging his battlefield death. Not only did he fall into promiscuous sin, but now he is a murderer, and all these things are attached not only to his reputation, but to his conscience, to his spirit. And Nathan the prophet comes and calls him out and says, you're the man. And David repents. We get this image of mercy revealed in Psalms 51 verses 1 through 3. David prayed and he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Despite his many failures, David asked God to have mercy on him, to not put the full consequences of his sin upon him. And the mercy of God reached into a great despair. I've often been asked, why does the Bible include such tragic stories? Well, the reason the Bible includes these is because the Lord is trying to reveal to us that people that have been greatly used have gone through great things, but God's mercy had the ability to reach into their lowest moments and change the circumstance. When they desired the change and made the effort to move toward God, God's mercy was there to reach down and pick them up in the midst of their despair. I am so thankful that the Bible reveals these stories because it gives all of us hope. Many times we could say, well, I've done too much, but yet the Bible reveals people that have faced tragic situations, but yet the reach of God's mercy was enough to pull them back from such depths of despair. And he can do the same for you. The mercy of God was able to reach into David's most difficult, tragic choices and change him and forever preserve him, anointed of God. Mercy was able to reach the prodigal, one that took his inheritance and wasted it on riotous living in a far land, finds himself, when he's out of money and a famine comes, attached to a local in a far country, out to feed the swine. And he comes to himself and he says, even the servants at my father's house have food plenty to eat. I will arise and go to my father's house. Mercy did not just stay within the borders of Israel, but mercy was able to reach into a far country and pull the prodigal's heart and tug at his spirit until he arose and went to his father's house. And when the father saw him coming from a long way off, he ran to meet him, declaring, "My son that was dead is now alive," and wrapped his arms around him even before he changed his raiment, because mercy will reach into your most difficult, most sinful, or grieving life. Mercy is not afraid to reach into the depths of our depravity or our despair. Mercy's reach. What a powerful understanding. Mercy will call you back. Mercy will bring you back. And the Father took him into a place and didn't leave him dirty. He clothed him and he put him back in the family. That's what mercy does. We often think, well, maybe mercy only reaches a little ways. No, mercy reached into a far country. Mercy reached through wrong choices. Mercy reached into a country a long way away and called the prodigal son back. I don't know what you've been experiencing, listener. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know if it's been a while since you felt the call of God and the touch of God in your life, but I want you to know mercy. His reach is not limited, and he's reaching for you right now. Mercy's reach was capable of reaching a lady at a well in Samaria, a lady who could not even go draw water at the same time that the other ladies went, because she had placed herself in a situation that was not proper. For she had five husbands, and even the Lord revealed that the one she was with now was not even her husband. But I want you to notice when Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why? Because mercy wanted to reach a lady that was going to a well to draw water at an off time because of her life. Mercy needed to reach way down into a place where the Jews of that day did not even get along with the Samaritans. But yet mercy said, "I can reach her. I can reach way down to a well." And the Bible says that when Jesus got there, he asked her to give me drink. And she, understanding the seriousness of the situation, looked and said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me to draw water for you?" And Jesus began to reveal to her spiritual things about the timing. That's why he said in John 4, verses 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord revealed to her the revelation of living water. And she said, "I want that living water. I want that water that if I take it, I'll never thirst again." Jesus did not preserve the revelation of mercy to be secretly revealed to the perfect, but he revealed his great mercy to those that were in great need. He did not reserve the revelation of mercy for those that did not need it. He gave the revelation of mercy, revealed this great revelation to those that were in great need. I find that astounding, to think that this holy God, manifest in flesh, that was tempted but never sinned, did not just take this revelation to the righteous. He took the revelation of mercy to the place where it was needed the most. And that's the revelation that the Lord's wanting to give you now. That no matter where you are, he has come to reveal mercy to you. You know where else I'm thankful that mercy was able to reach? I'm thankful that mercy was able to reach me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But he did not leave it there. In verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying mercy was not just something that could reach David. Mercy was not just something that could reach the prodigal. Mercy was not just something that could reach a woman at a well in Samaria. Mercy was not just something that was revealed to people in a book written many centuries ago. Mercy is something that is revealed to us today. For mercy reached me. Psalms 86 and 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." How far can mercy reach? Mercy reaches to the lowest valley. Mercy reaches to the highest mountain. Mercy can reach into the hospital room. Mercy can reach into the courtroom. Mercy can reach into a broken marriage. Mercy can reach into a prison cell. Mercy can reach into a bar. Mercy can reach the addict. Mercy can reach the prodigal, backslid, far from God. Mercy can reach the brokenhearted. Mercy can reach those who have made the biggest mistakes. Mercy can reach shattered lives. Thank God for the revelation of mercy, that mercy's reach is unlimited, that mercy's reach is still for us today. Listener, no matter what you're going through, I want you to know there's mercy for you, but not just today. Mercy even reaches into my future. I can trust the reach of God's mercy. Mercy faithfully follows. That's why the psalmist David declared in Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Listen to verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." No matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad you feel, mercy can reach you. And as has become our tradition here at the Building Great Lives podcast, I want to pray for you, listener. I want to pray a couple of verses over you, that you would feel the reach of mercy to pull you out of whatever heartbreak that you found yourself in. Jude chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." Lord, I'm asking you to multiply your mercy, peace, and love to every listener. And Lord, as your word continues in Jude 1, 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We are to look to mercy. Lord, I'm asking you to help every listener right now as they face difficult situations in their lives. Instead of being focused on the difficulty of the circumstance, Lord, let them look for mercy. For those that begin to look for mercy, they will find it, because the reach of mercy is not shortened. And as always, thank you so much for listening. In the meantime, please subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend, maybe text them the link or share it on your social. You can find me on social at Trent Gillum, on Instagram at Rev Gillum. You can also reach me at buildinggreatlivespodcast@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, let's keep building.
You've been listening to the Building Great Lives podcast, a member of the Real Life Church Network.
Join us next time as we dig deeper into life's most challenging questions.